Okay, a lot of this sugya is something that we went into barichas many times, both in Erechin and in Tmura. So I'm going to focus more on the chelik that we didn't go into all that much. So let's go through the sugya quickly first. Choyma b'nedarim mi'be'erechin. The Mishnah says that there's a chumra that nedarim has, that Erechin has, that nedarim don't have. If somebody says Erki Alayim, he dies, the Yorshim have to pay the debt. But the male Alayim Meis, lo Yitnu Yorshim. Shein Domim L'Meisim. The Erich is a set fee, and therefore doesn't need a assessment. Doesn't need a personal assessment. It's a generic assessment. And therefore, that generic assessment doesn't matter that he died. We could still make a general assessment. But if somebody says the male lie, he needs a personal assessment. Personal assessment we can't make, because once he's dead, there's no value. Now, obviously, the Mishnah means something more than just we can't evaluate, because as Tosfos points out, and from the Sugya Bava Kamma, if you look at the second Tosfos, the male Iomais, lo yitnu yorshim lefi shein domim. Tosfos says, we learn in Bava Kamma, the main nizik, that you pay the value if the animal goes and kills somebody to shul, so you have to pay the value of the nizik. The nizik is dead. So how do you pay the value of the nizik? So it's obvious, we make an assessment of what the nizik would have been worth before. That's the concept. How much he would have been worth while he was alive. So that's Xeris HaKosavi. And therefore, he didn't make a nether on the person. The person never came to an evaluation. Unclear what Tosfos means here in the answer. I made a nether on the evaluation. Fine, so let's evaluate what you were worth before death. So Tosfos' answer is unclear. But not only do we have that problem that Tosfos is raising, which is that technically you see you could evaluate what somebody was worth before they died. There's a way to do that. There's a way to evaluate a person, examine the person after death and evaluate what their pre-death value was. But besides for that problem that Tosfos has, many achronim ask that a mace is also not completely osur b'hanoah. For instance, there are parts of the body, there are artificial things that are mutar b'hanoah, that already you can be mechalak. The hair is mutar b'hanoah according to many rishonim. So at least give the value of what does have value. In other words, the dead body has value. Let's just start with the hair. Let's say the hair is worth $100. So that has value. Forgetting Tosfos. Tosfos has another question. Tosfos is asking, even if we would treat the body today as something that has no value, halachically, let's evaluate the pre-death state. But besides the Tosfos question, you can ask that the value has a post-death value. The hair, which is mutar b'hanoah, according to many rishonim, completely. So if it's mutar b'hanoah, so then, that definitely should be evaluated. So it may lie, give the value of the hair. So some of the achronim want to say a teretz, which is, they're very, very difficult. They want to say that since he made an edit to give his whole value, and part of which he can't do anymore because he's dead and that doesn't have the value. So there's a klal, neder shebotlo miktsoso botlo kulo. That's a nedarim, meseches nedarim concept. Which means, the classic example of neder shutu miktsos yutu kulo means I made a neder, and part of the neder was a toss. Okay, that's the case of the sugis in the door. He made a neder, he saw a bunch of people eating from his tree. So he made a neder, all those people under the tree are usa. And then he comes and he sees his father and brother and others are there. And he obviously didn't intend his father. So now look, is his father and brother, it's a toss. And the halach is that the rest of the people are also the neder is off. Because neder shehut mikzasa is utra kula. So some achronim say that that's the explanation here too. That even if there are parts here that have value, since the bulk, the body, the bulk of the body, it wouldn't make a difference, the bulk, is osir, so it's a neder shehut batul mikzasa batul kula. I hear that there's a tremendous distinction. Over here, no part of the neder was batul. The metzius was batul. This is more similar to a guy who says, not similar, it's almost exactly that case. A guy who would say there's 20 people under his tree, and he makes a neder that all of them can't have hanoah, and two of them die on the spot. Hayal al adas, that neder shebatla mitzasa batla kula? Of course not. The two people that died, that's not because the neder became batel, it's because the metzias became batel. The metzias changed, not the neder. The neder is the same neder. So I think that the concept of neder shebatel mitzasa over here is not applicable. Because over here, the reason why you wouldn't be paying for the value of the body, assuming that we have an answer, we understand what Tosfos is saying, would be because the body has no value. So that just means the facts on the ground changed, not the neder. And therefore, the concept of neder shebatel mitzasa batel kula is not applicable. Same thing. So everybody else will be also. And the two people that are dead, obviously, are not also. What I'm saying is, neder shebatel mitzasa batel kula has to be that there's an inherent reason within the neder that the neder broke. Not that the facts changed. The facts that were there when he made the neder are over. If somebody says, I'm not going to eat te'enim and anovim, and they matter the te'enim, then the te'enim, the anovim also become mutter, right? But if the te'enim disappear, the anovim don't become mutter, even though it's not negay anymore for the te'enim. Or the te'enim get ruined, get spoiled. We're not going to say, well, now that the te'enim got spoiled, and if you would eat the te'enim, now you'd be potter because it's not a chila kedalka. Now you're potter on the anovim. You follow what I'm saying? The neder stayed intact. Neder shebatel mitzasa means part of the neder broke. The neder, not the consequences of the neder. The neder itself broke. Okay. So the Mishnah says, lo yitnu ayoshim shein domim l'meisim. Because there's no value to a dead body. Erech yodi alai ve'erech ragli alai. Lo yomar klu. He says, I'll give the value of the erech of my hand or foot, lo yomar klum. But if he says, erech roishi, the erech kvedi alai, noisin erech kuloi, then you have to give the complete erech. Zaklau, kol dovo shal shama tzluya boi, noisin erech kuloi. If you say, I should give the erech of a limb, which is life sustaining, then you have to pay for everything, the regular erech. And if not, obviously, the erech is batel. Now, what happens if you say, chatzi erkei alai? This is very different. Here you're not saying the erech of this limb. You're saying, whatever my complete erech is, I'd like to give half of it. Okay, I'd like to give half of my erech. So that's not where you say the erech of half of my body. That's where you say, I want to give half of the complete erech. So even though it could be value-wise, we end up in the same place, but the mechanics are different. And because the mechanics are different, so we can't say that now you have to pay everything. Because you started out with everything. When you started out with a specific aver, so we could say, listen, you wanted to give the complete erech of a liver. And the complete erech of a liver is equivalent to the complete erech of a whole person. Because you accepted a whole erech. When you say chatzi erech yalai, what you're really saying is, I want to give a half of erech. So so now the question really is, so the Mishnah paskins that you give a half of erech. It's unclear, why are you a balabos to do that? Why do you have the power to do that? In other words, the Torah only only allowed a complete erech. So either we should say it doesn't work, it's zero, or we should say pay the whole thing. This concept that you're a balabos, again, the difference between the resh and the sefer, we understand. We say I want to give half of my, we say half of my erech is what I'm being marach, we say it's the whole erech. That we understand. Because according to the Torah's terminology, half erech is the same thing as a whole erech. As far as the body, half a body gets the same erech as a whole body. Who decided that erech is 50 slaim? The Torah. So the Torah said, a body has an erech of 50 slaim, and a liver has an erech of 50 slaim. And a head has an erech of 50 slaim. So that's not difficult. That's why over there you gotta give the whole erech, because the Torah decided that the erech of the head is the same thing like the erech of the whole body. Here you're saying, listen, I understand what the erech is, but I want to give half of it. Okay? But why are you balabos? Oh, so that's the shaila. The shaila is that when the Mishnah says now you give a half of erech, does the Mishnah mean that that is midin erechin? Or perhaps the Mishnah means that that's midin nedorim. You follow? It's like you made a neder. It's like you made a neder. No, that clearly, if somebody would say, Harei Alai to pay half the erech of what a ben chamishim pays. So what he's really doing is accepting a neder. He didn't say the erech of anybody is on him. He wasn't makabel erechin. He said, I want to give Hekdesh a certain amount of money. So I'm going to give Hekdesh the money, the value of a half a erech of a ben chamishim. That's not an erechin. Erechin has to be you identify somebody. That's not an erechin. So the question is, when you say chatzi erechi alai, is it equivalent to saying chatzi erech of a ben chamishim? Is that really, and there's many nafkaminas in halacha. First of all, is there hesed yad? What happens if you can't afford half that erech? So if it's domim, if it's a nether, so you're up the creek, you got to pay it back. If it's an erechin, there's a din of hesed yad. You pay what you can afford. The Sfasemes go so far to say, I mean, it's a pella. The Sfasemes says that maybe you can pay a half a sella. Because basically what he's doing is, he's adopting erechin. He's saying when you say half my, I want to give half my erech, it is in the parasha of erechin. And basically what you just accomplished in doing is taking the whole parasha of erechin and shrinking it. That's an unbelievable chiddush. That's the Sfasemes. Because Sfasemes, he says, oh, maybe not. Maybe hesed yad is only a seller, you can't go less. Okay. But you see from the way he's learning that what you're really doing is coming into the parasha of erechin and shrinking it and saying, okay, the erech is supposed to be this much, I'm going to pay half that amount. To me, that's a tremendous chiddush. That's b'chlal not pasha to learn that way. But these are the two, I'm just telling you, there are two ways to understand this din. So the Mishnah says, but if he says, erech hatzi alai, the erech of half my body, nice and erech kulai, because it's like a limb that the body needs to live. You can't live with half a body. Chatzi domi alai, nice and chatzi domo, of demei chatzi alai, nice and demei kulai. Because we learn a dharm from erechin. Zaklal, dorashan, shoma, teluyavoi, any limb which the body needs, nice and demei kulai. If he says I want to give the erech of the other person, the yorshim still have to pay the neder. If he says if a guy gets up before he dies and he says I want to give this other person's value, and that other person is still alive, you have to give it. The yorshim have to give it. Because he obligated himself. And the only reason why, if you say my value, is because if the person then is dead, he has no value. But as long as the subject that he was talking about is alive, his yoshim have to pay. Meis hanida, obviously, if the nida dies, then it's equivalent to the male ayumeis. So then the aloch is lo yitno yoshim shein domim lemeis. Okay. So now the Gemara spends a little bit of time here trying to explain why do Yerushim have to pay? And that's really the part that I wanted to go into, because again, the part of Evishan Shamat Liyubi we went into many, many times already, several times anyway. So we're going to focus on this part of the Gemara, the first part and the last part of the Gemara, Tan Rabbana. Chaim ibn Adorim Shanadorim Mibe'erchin, Shanadorim Cholim al Behema Chayev Oif. Nadorim Achal on Behema Chayev Oif. Okay? Ve'eni Donim Behesegyad. And they are not ruled by Hesegyad. That means a nether you have to pay whether you can afford it or not. There's no scholarship. You gotta pay it. Mashenkin Ba'arachin. By Erechin, there is. There's a fund, there's a scholarship, you pay less. Hesegyad. Choyme Be'erechin Minadorim. Kesad, what's the Chumah Erechin as? Omar Erki Elayu Meis, Yitnu Ayorashim. Doma Elayu Meis, Lo Yitnu Ayorashim, Shein Domim Lumeis. Omar Erki Elayu Meis, Yitnu Ayorashim, ask the Gemara. Shmami No, Lachora, we have proof from our Mishnah. Milva Alper, Goivim in Ayorashim. That a milva alper collects from the Yerushim. So if you make a loan, and it was just done orally, there was no documentation, so you still collect from the Yerushim. And the Gemara is asking that there are many opinions that hold milva alper is any goyvim in the Yerushim. So this would be a stam mishneh, that's a raya, that milva alper is goyvim in the Yerushim. Says the Gemara, no. Shani yocha de milva ksuva batoyrahi. This is a milva which is written in the Torah. There's a separate machlekes. Besides for the machlekes of whether an oral loan you can collect from the Yerushim, there's another machlekes. If a milva ksuva batera, if that's like ksuva bishtar, something which is written in the Torah, does that have a din of ksuva bishtar? What is the category of milva ksuva batera? Most of the Rishonim hold, because really every milva is ksuva batera, technically. Any money you owe another Jew is ksuva batera. If you borrow money, it's also a pasuk that you have to pay back. For yisha shirata noisha boy. It's a pasuk. So every loan, be'etzem, is a milva ksuva batera. So most of the Rishonim hold that milva ksuva batera means an obligation that was not self-imposed. In other words, a loan, it's true, it's a milva ksuva batera, but it's a svara. You obligated yourself. That's not ksuva batera. Ksuva batera means the Torah established it. It's not a svara dike choyv, it's a choyv that the Torah established. So the Gemara says, l'chor, it's one of two. Either our Mishnah holds milva alper goyvim in a yolshin, or at the very least, milva ksuva batera is ksuva b'shtar domi. But neither of these concepts are muskim. So it comes out that we have a stam Mishnah that is establishing one of these two concepts which are not unanimously accepted. So Gemara is asking, L'chor, that would be the raya. Shmami no milva ksuva batera keksuva b'shtar dome. Says the Gemara, no. Hocha b'maya skinon. We're talking about here that it reached the next stage. Kisha omad b'din. The person that made the obligation, he already went to Bezdin. That's L'chor, what omad b'din means. We'll see that there's a big shaila how to learn omad b'din, but that's simplistically what it normally means in all of Shas means you already went to Bezdin. Bezdin already obligated you. So at that point, it's an established choyv. It's beyond the level of Milval Peh. The Kavoso Gabi Dmei Olai Shomad Bedin. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. If Bezdin already said you have to pay, Amai Lo Yitnu Yosh? Why don't the Yoshim have to pay? The Gemara says, well, Dmei Olai is still Mechusar Umdana. It's still Mechusar Umdana. Which means, Bezdin still has to evaluate how much. So the kasha I have stam in pshat in this Gemara is, I don't understand what's going on here. Bezdin's a practical issue. When you go to Bezdin, it's practical. Which Bezdin in the world is going to sit down and make a Gemar Din on you that you have to pay and not decide how much you have to pay? Shouldn't that all be part of the process? The Gemara seems to be saying we're talking about this far-fetched case where Bezdin came, they established that you have to pay, but they didn't establish how much you have to pay. What is that? Why would have they done that? And that's why, by Erechin, that has a lot of value. Because by Erechin, they don't have to establish what you have to pay. It's already established. Mashiach came by Dmei Alai, or Domoi Shoplani Alai, Bezdin has to still establish an amount. So I don't understand the process here. Why would Bezdin sit? I mean, that's what the Gemara is saying. We're talking about this in-between stage, where you made the Neder, or the Erech, Bezdin sat down, and they said, you know what? We heard your Neder, we paskined that you have to pay. How much? We don't know. That's L'chaira, that's not a normal way of running a Bezdin. Yes, I'm saying, so then L'chaira, but all I'm saying is that L'chaira, when you make a Psak Din, every Psak Din normally is a practical thing. It's not a theoretical. You see, when you're learning a sugi, you go, okay, theoretically a chayev, now we'll see how much. I would think that a Bezdin that sits down to Paskin, Dmei Alai or Erech Alai, has whatever they need at their disposal to make a Psak Din. So we're going to have to say, we're talking about cases like this, Bezdin sat down, they're going to have to reconvene then. They're going to have to now reconvene after they get an evaluation, then we're going to come and say, you know what, we'll tell you how much. I'm not saying it can't happen. It is feasible. It's feasible. We're not talking about a Heintik Bezdin. We're not talking about a Heintik Bezdin. You have to, I don't mean chashom anything bad, right? Well, I'm not saying anything bad, right? But what I'm saying is that when a dayan is paid $400-$500 an hour, he has a tremendous yetzahara. He's only human. You know, couples come to me sometimes. I have a new thing. I don't, it's already like 7-8 years. I don't see couples for, I decided a while ago that, you know what, a rav is not really a therapist. There's no time for it. And it's not fair that's the way the position is. It's taka free therapy. But it's not. So if it can resolve in once or two times, I see there's an Indian that they have to speak out, and that it's a pleasure. There's no greater pleasure to bring shalom between two people. But if you see it's an ongoing, so then you send them to a professional. So sometimes I get the question from a couple. I say, you know, Rabbi, it's unbelievable. We had this issue. It's been lingering. We've been seeing therapists and this. We sat down with you. One time, everything is, what happened? So I would love to tell you I have up some magic. See, it's not magic. So you have to realize, when you go to a therapist, he's making $200 an hour, a good therapist. So for him, his business is that this should take as long as possible. I said, I am not making any money right now. In fact, I have a lot of other things I have to do now. So to me, my business is that this should end as quick as possible. So we're both really being loyal to our businesses. The therapist is being loyal to his business, I'm being loyal to my business, and that's the conclusion. So that's the answer to your question. When Bote Dinim used to be Bechinam, so things didn't schlep. And Dayanim weren't interested in theoretical Dinteches. If I'm being paid $500 an hour, I'd be very happy to have a theoretical Dinteches and analyze things at Gevaldik. And then we'll go to the next step. All I'm saying is that L'chaira, this case, is a far-fetched case. The Mishnah here is L'chaira giving us a normal example of Chomer ben Adorim Shebe'erech Ed, Mibe'erech and Shebe'nedorim. If we're going to make such an ukimta that the Bezdin sat and they made an they were Machayev you, but they didn't make an evaluation. Taka! If Bezdin wasn't Machayev you, you'd be Potter Sai by Erechin and Sai by Nedorim. And if they were Machayev you, you'd be Chayev Sai by Nedorim and Sai by Erechin. But you know what our Mishnah is trying to tell us? This little window. If Bezdin sat down and they were technically Mechayev you, but they didn't yet make the evaluation of how much you have to pay, oh, that's what our Mishnah means. There's a distinction between Adorim and Erechim. I'm just saying. Hey, Chomer clearly in our Mishnah. Chomer in our Mishnah clearly means There's an example, because no matter how you learn, the chumr, ain domim lemeis, it's not a chumr really, it's a practical thing. So I'm just talking about practical. Okay? But I'm just saying, according to, if we learn the Gemara Kipshutai, it sounds like the example that we're talking about here is a very far-fetched example, not a common example, and that's what the Gemara, the Mishnah means. Choyme ben adormi berichen. close to what you're saying. In other words, by Erechin, it's only a one-step process. And by Nedarim, it's a two-step process. And by Erechin, therefore, if you catch him in between step one and step two, it doesn't matter. Bezdin could still go to step two. And by Nedarim, they can't go to step two. And that's the case. Okay, so that seems to be what the Gemara is saying. Says the Gemara, okay, I just want to bring out one other point before we go weiter. The Gemara then goes through Erech Kli, Erech Yodai, Erech Raglai, Amarav, the Noisein Domeho. You give the value, says the Gemara, what do you mean? V'loyomar Klum, K'toni. V'loyomar Klum L'Rabbonon, V'noisein Domeho L'Rameir. Because Rameir holds, whenever you make a neder, we say you meant to make, if the wording doesn't work, we work it out for you. Einad Amoitzi Dvorah L'Ratola. Homer Chod Azimna Domav Gidla Marav, Oimer Erech Kli Zeolai, Noisein Domov. Because we say you obviously didn't mean Erech, you meant a neder. So too over here. And therefore, when you said it, you meant the value. You may have thought that there is an erech to a yad. That yes. But then the Mishnah goes and says, because nefesh is kama. And then it's again the Mishnah repeats that klal called Dovo Shana Shomot Liyaboy. Again, so the Gemara says, Lasuye Mai, Minar Kuvala Mala. If somebody's missing the leg from the knee up, so that's something that you can't live with. The Mishnah had to go and be Marbit. That's what the Gemara says. So this also is not Poshit, because if you look, Toysa says, Amai nokat min arkuva l'mala tfei mikol yud ches treifes. Tosis says, why does it pick this? Tosis goes on to answer that maybe it's going to Rav Shimon, who also is not a treifer. So here, this element is not even brought down in the Rambam. The only Rambam only brings down the case of the Mishnah. The liver, the head, he doesn't bring down the knee. He doesn't bring, if you're missing the upper leg, that you have to give erech. So this, they all ask, what's going on? The Ragachov says a tremendous chiddush that maybe the Rambam doesn't hold of the whole din. But it's interesting, the Rambam doesn't bring it down here. Neither does he bring it down in Hilchas Gerushin, where we have the same halacha. If a guy, Nebuch, fell into the water, and they couldn't find the body, but they found his leg. So the Gemara paskins that if they find the same part of the leg separately from the body, then you can assume the person's dead and his wife is permitted. The Rambam also doesn't bring that down over there either. He just brings down like the Reish over here, and he says if they find a limb that the body can't live without, he doesn't bring down the din of the leg. So, and the Rambam really is a contradiction, because in Hilchas Treifus, he's not going like Rav Shimon, because in Hilchas Treifus, by the animal, he says, yes, if the animal is missing the upper part of the leg, it's a treif. And it's treif. So the Rambam is like very unclear. So Agav Urcha, I always felt that this is a strong raya to the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish has a masterful chiddush, because it answers so many questions. We have so many treifas today that through the innovations in medicine, they can live. And the question is, what's a treifa? Does the laws of treifa change? So there generally have been two opinions until the Chazon Ish came. There's been the widely known opinion of the Radvaz and many, many Rishonim who say the treifas go by what the Chachamim say. The Radvaz writes, Afilu, if all the doctors in the world will tell me otherwise, this is what it is. And that's really been the accepted approach, b'derech klal, how to view treifas. Like the Radvaz. It's logical. Because otherwise there would be constant changes in halacha. That's the Radvaz. Others had a very progressive view. And they said, no, you go by the Metzias. By the Metzias. And it could change. So technically, Yoredei, Hilchas Treifas, could change. That day has not been accepted. I'm not saying nobody held that way. It's not an accepted view in halacha. Chazon Ish came and he made a pshara. Not because he was trying to make a pshara, the way he understands it. He says, there are two kinds of treifas. He says, there's a treifa where the Torah HaKadosh said that this animal can't be eaten because it has a specific mum. Just like kachim have certain mumim, you can't eat the animal if it has a, you can't bring the animal for a korban if it has a certain mumim. There are certain mumim that you can't bring an animal for a korban if it has these mumim. So the Chazon Ish says the same thing kashrus. Torah says if the animal has a hole in the lung, that's all, it's a treifa. You can give the animal, you have a progressive medical thing happening in your generation where the doctors have come up with a way that they can give the animal a certain drug and keep the animal alive. Doesn't matter. It's a treifa. Doesn't matter. Chazon Ish says because the treifas were given L'moshe Mitzrayim. It's almost like a maligeir and a mafris pausa was given L'moshe Mitzrayim. What would be if you'd have a through medical intervention, you could take an animal that's not a maligeire and make it into a maligeire, would make a difference. Because the Torah said that this animal is treif. Right? Tell me. So he says, the Chazon Ish says, treifus is the same thing. He says treifus is something which inherently the Torah said that animal is treif, can't be eaten. In your generation, the doctor came up with a way to make that the animal could live? Okay. So, Leben Gesunde Heit, it's still treif. Still treif. He says, but, when we're dealing with being mater in a guna, he says there, it's completely illogical to say that we don't take into account medical intervention. Because we have to determine now that this guy's dead. He's not dead necessarily. He could have been fished up, just like the leg was fished up here. He was fished up over there, and they brought him to a local trauma center, and he's fine. He's alive and talking. So why would you be Mater's wife? It's a poshtus svara. As a Chazon Ish. Now, using the Chazon Ish's line of reasoning, it would be very possible to say that an Eivir Shan Shoma Tliyabo and Hilchus Nedarim goes by that generation. That means if you... Really, mishum kvode has to be that the person can't live without that eiver. So if it, in our generation, a person, let's say, without the leg can live, so then, if he makes a nether that I'm gonna, erech of my leg, it's meaningless. Because you can live without the leg. So that's why the Rambam didn't bring the specification. Because in the Rambam's door already it changed many things. And mainly the din of Evashan Shemot Liyabai could change. Only in Ilchus Treifas, the Rambam brought it down, because there it's like the Chazon Ish. When Moshe came down on Har Sinai, he said, an animal missing this part of the leg is a treifa. That's all. Now it's irrelevant anymore. The animal could be Zechel of 120 years. It doesn't matter. This is from the treifas that were brought down on Har Sinai. I think that would be Mahasbidus Nekuda. Okay. Says the, we'll just hop to the bottom part of the Gemara and then we'll get to what the Mahalach here should be. The Gemara on the bottom says, Oimer HaKashel Pliny Olai Umeis HaNoider. And then the Noider died. So it says that he has to pay. My new Shomad Bedin. So it's the same din again. Omad Bedin. Says the Gemara, Hainuach. It's the same din being repeated. What we had before. Says the Gemara, no, Sefer Chitzur Chalei. Domov shall plenty lie in Meis, Anoider, Yitnu Ayorshin. Now the time I would say, Kivon de Loi Amdu, Loi Ishtabed Nichsei. Now again, we have the same problem. Why would this be different than Erechid? We already had that Chiddush. Komash Malon, Kivon de Omad Bedin, Ishtabudei Ishtabed Nichsei. So here the Gemara says the Nechosim are already Mishubid. The Umdana Gilimilsa Baal Mehu. The Umdana is a Gilimilsa. So here the Gemara seems to be saying That taket is such a thing as a gemar din without an umdina. It's really a repeat of what we had earlier. We'll paskin that you're theoretically chayiv, and how much, we don't know. We'll find out later, and then retroactively, that's how much in a chosim will mishubit. It's a big chiddush. Very big chiddush. For many reasons, it's a big chiddush, but it's a very big chiddush. Okay, so now we go to the Rambam. When the Rambam brings down the din of our Mishnah, he says as follows. He says, "Hoy me'erkel ayu meis koidim shiyamid badin." This is in Perek Aleph Halacha Chaf Aleph. "Ein ayoshim chayovim litein shenema ve'imidoi lifnei akoyin ve'herichoy se akoyin." Okay, so the yoshim don't have to pay without hamada badin. Omar b'din umeis, then the Rambam paskins yitnu ayoshim, then the yoshim have to pay. So the Rambam seems to bring down our Gemara. Right? So at first glance, it's very glut, the Rambam. Meaning, if somebody says, Erkei Olai, and he dies, and there wasn't even a Hamad B'din, Bez didn't even sit down and establish that he's Chayiv, so he doesn't have to pay. The Yoshim don't have to pay. That fits our Gemara. The big problem we have with this Rambam is that our whole Gemara seems to be going to answer Milval Peh ain't a goyvim in a yoshim. That's the whole thrust of our Gemara. The Gemara starts off, what do you mean Yitnu Lachamisa Milval Peh? So on that the Gemara says, well, maybe Milval Peh is like Suva Batera. Then the Gemara says, no, we're talking about Omad Bedin. So the whole example of Amad Bedin was to answer why, even though it's a Milval Peh, he still has to pay. The Yoshim have to pay. Because the Choyv was already established by Bezin, so now you have to pay. That seems to be the Gemara. So, but the Rambam holds Milval Peh's Goyvim in a Yoshim. He holds Shibuta Deraisa. So the Rambam, L'Choyv, our whole Gemara is not Negea. The Rambam could have just learned the Mishnah. Why not? The Rambam holds Shibuta Deraisa. So the Rambam holds any Milval Peh could collect from the Yoshim. So this is no different. L'chayra. Makes no difference. So if you look at the Ravid, he's bothered with this question. The Ravid says, Omar Avram, Amida bedin shehuzkura begemora alze loibou lo miderech hamod v'aroch amuru bekan. And he goes on and he says, Avul huzkura shom, the second line from the bottom of the Ravid, l'chiv ayoshim. It was only brought in the Gemara for chiv ayoshim. Mimnei she'imil v'alpeh. V'hashto de'kaimolon be'bavabasre. Mil v'alpeh goyvim in ayoshim. The Shibud of the Raisa, lo yitzrich la'amid ha'bedin. Loy lo'erech v'loy l'nerach. He says, I don't need this whole, the whole ukimta of the Gemara was to answer this question. That's the, of Milval Peh. But according to the Rambam, the whole issue is mute. Because we all Milval Peh, the Gevim and Ayoshim. So it's not even a game. And he says on this Rambam, Mi Chochom V'yoven Eila. It's a Peltic Rambam. How can you be Mefash of this Rambam? So there's been a lot of Torah written on this Rambam. I mean, again, the difficulty is that even if we come to Pshat in the Rambam, how do we bridge the gap between the Rambam and our Gemara? The Gemara seems to say clearly that you only need Amoda Bedin. So even if we could come, we could say Svaras. Because there are plenty of Svaras to say. Plenty of Svaras. There's a Rav David Soloveitchik. In his shiurim, he tries to be mevarel this Rambam. And he says, Ayin b'Rambam, sheposak, toim elkiel, ayim eis kodim, sheyamad badin, lo yitno ayoshim. V'im omad b'din yitnu. V'ayin shom ba'asogas. Look in asogas arayvid. Is it rak l'mandom m'muvah pe'in goy v'min ayolshim? The whole Gemara here is going, if you hold that a regular m'muvah pe' can't collect. K'muvah b'gemara. V'kivon sh'arambam poisek. The m'muvah pe' goy v'min ayolshim. Ain't tzorech l'amod b'din klal. That's his question. So he says like this. He wants to say that the Rambam is talking about only in a case where the nidr died. In other words, the nidr, you need the al-tamod bedin. We're talking about the nidr. So if you look at the Lashon HaRambam, the Rambam says, Ho'ime erki olayu meis koidim shi'amid badin, ein ayoshim chayovim lite. The case is, he said, erki olayim, my erich. So he wants to say, the Reb David, that the Rambam would agree that if somebody said erki olay, he said somebody else's erich is on him, and he died, then even if there was no hamad badin, he'd have to pay. You follow? Notice the Reb David holds that the Rambam is only talking about a case where he's the subject of the erich, erki olay, and the reason why the Rambam says you need hamad badin is not because the one who made the nether, but because the subject that he was talking about. That's what he says. V'arambam svirulei degam anida boi hamod abedin. V'ashti yesh loima nihidiling in anoidere in tzorech hamod abedin. Because milvah peh goivim na yoshin. Le'ing in anida bin an yinid hamod abedin. That's what he says. Now this is a tremendous chiddush, because why wasn't the Gemara dealing with this also on Amud Aleph? He's basically saying that the Gemara on Amud Aleph was dealing with one issue, and the Gemara on Amud Beis is dealing with another issue. The Gemara on Amud Aleph is dealing with you, the neder. As far as the one who's making the neder is concerned, we don't care if he's here unless you hold milvah peh zeinu goyvim in a yosh. And that's all the Gemara was dealing with on Amud Aleph. Okay, on Amud Beis, now the Gemara in conclusion is dealing with something else. And he says, you do need that the nidr, the one who you made the nidr about, he does have to be alive. You need hamad b'din for him. So where somebody says erki olay, then we need him to be here anyway for hamad b'din, because otherwise the erichis doesn't work. In other words, the guy said erki olay, now he's the subject of the nidr. So if he would die before Hamad Abedin, then we wouldn't have Erechin at all. That's his point. But he's not answering, well, why didn't the Gemara deal with this? The Gemara seemed to say the only issue we have is Milvah Peh Goyv or Eni Goyv. Clearly the Mishnah was talking about when you said Erechin Olay. That was the Mishnah. That's how the Mishnah started. The Lashon HaMishnah was, to which the Gemara said, why Yitnu Ayarshim? But the case of the Gemara, according to Reb David, had a problem anyway. Because the nidr needs Hamad Abedin. Right? So you have to say, for whatever reason, the Gemara wasn't dealing with that. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that even after you have the teretz, you still have the difficulty that the consistency between the Rambam and the Gemara is not there. Because the Gemara, Lamaisa, seems to only deal with the problem of Milvah Peh. The Gemara is perfectly satisfied. If Milvah Peh is Goyva, the Gemara would have just left the Mishnah the way it is, without any Ukimtas. The Gemara only brought the whole problem in because we know a milvah peh can't collect from Yoshim. Why is he collecting over here? The Gemara said, well, we're talking about Hamad Abedin. According to Reb David, the Gemara had to make the Ukimta anyway. Because if the Gemara wouldn't have made that Ukimta, then he wouldn't be chayiv anyway. Because since the subject is dead, since the subject that the neder was chal on is dead, And for that you need Amoda Bedin. So that one still, so either way, it's inconsistent with this, with the pashtus of the Gemara. It's an eitz. I'm not saying it's not a solution. It's a solution that is still absent from the Gemara. L'chayla. So that's the problem I have with this. Rev Eliashiv goes with a similar approach in his Horus. So he says, one second, let's just get this. Im yesh din amoda be'erichin, he says, if there's a din amoda be'erichin, like he's basically like Rav David Soloveitchik. De'ein ne'erach, he says, if that's the case, gam l'man de'omar mil v'alpe goyve me'a yorshim. Tzorich l'hamid mishtosenu kishomad badin. Right? So he's really saying like Rav David. But he, Yashiv says, v'adayin yiksha, the b'gimor mashma. The rak leman da oma milva alpe goyve me'a yorshim. Hutzrichu la'amod ebedin. The bottom line is that the Gemara is not mashma like this. So even if we're going to go ahead, so he tries different methods, but the Rav Eliashiv also in the Sugya Lamed Bey says the same thing. Lufi Rambam nishtabdu nechosov. The ain't kind of chiddush b'kol hamish. This is what he says on Amud Beis. Kamash on the Amud Bedin. He says according to the Rambam, it's not even a chiddush. It's move al peh. It's goyve min hayorshim. I'm sorry, Shelly. What was it? Well, that's what we have to see here. Right, so, but again, how do we make this work with our Gemara? Why was, no matter how, the problem is like this, no matter what Eitzah we're going to search for the Rambam, we still have a problem that the Gemara also was a Chochem. Right? And the Gemara somehow only presented this problem if you hold Milval Perez and a Goyvim in a Yoshim. That means the Gemara seemed to hold that this works, according to the Mandamot, and the Rambam seems to hold it doesn't work. The Rambam and the Gemara are not in sync. That's the problem we have. The Gemara seems to be saying, if you'll move up as Goyvim and Ayorashim, everything is okay. And the Rambam seems to hold it's not okay. So we can go from today till tomorrow and explain why the Rambam holds it's not okay. We're still left with a gaping hole. Why did the Gemara think it was okay? You follow that? That's the problem. The Gemara seems to think it's okay. If you'll move up as Goyvim and Ayorashim, it's okay. And the Rambam is saying it's not okay. So you tell me, well, the Rambam holds the Nerach. Okay, so why didn't the Gemara hold the Nerach? You keep on going back to the same issue, which is that Lamaisa, the Rambam, doesn't seem to flow together with the Gemara. There's a sefer called Ner Avrom, written by Ramot Chasavitsky, Zechet Tzadik Levroch. So he wrote a sefer on the Rambam and sefer mitzvahs, and he has a very interesting question. On the Gemara B'chayres, the Gemara talks about if you have a pidyon haben, and lo yaleinu, the child dies after 30 days. So we know until the child is 30 days old, there's no chiyuv pidyon haben. The child lived 30 days and then died afterwards. So the Gemara here brings a pasuk. The Gemara B'chayres and Daf Nun Aleph, the Gemara says, meis haben l'achal amidyoyim, if the child died after 30 days, you, for whatever reason you didn't do a pidyon haben, says the Gemara, Yiten. You have to give. Even if you didn't give yet, you gotta give. And the Gemara says, Minolon. How do we know that the father has to pay? And the Gemara goes and learns from Erechin that you have to pay even Lachar Lamed Yoyim. So Rashi brings down here, Kamoy Damrinan Be'erechin Omer Erech Yelayu Meis Yitnu Ayoshim. It's the same thing over here. That's what he says. So the Rav Matl Savitsky is bothered with, why in the world would his father not have to pay the Pidyon HaBen? Why would he have to pay Pidyon HaBen? The kid reached day 30. Pidyon HaBen was chal on him. What's the difference? What happened to the child? He's chayvin b'dinaban. Child died, whatever, something happened. Okay. Why do I need a psaposika to compare it to erichin? What do I need anything for? It's poshut. The chayv was chal on you. Why shouldn't you have to pay? That's his question. Now, a very similar question is asked on the Rambam. The Rambam here in Hilchos Chagiga, in Perek Aleph, Paskins, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud, Hamafrish Oilus Ria. Somebody is Mafrish Oilus Ria. That's an oil you bring when you go to be Oil Regal to the Beis HaMikdash. So when you go to be Oil Regal Beis HaMikdash, number one, there's a chiv to go to the Beis HaMikdash. And number two, there's a chiv to bring an Oilus Ria. You have to bring a korban when you go to the Beis HaMikdash. So if the person was mafresh the korban when he was alive, and then he died, Hayoshim Chayovim Lohavia. To Yoshim have to bring it. So the Magid Mishnah asks that Miloshin Aramba Mashma Dafkim Hifresh Mechayim. It's only if the person, the deceased, before he died, he was mafresh. But if he wasn't, you don't have to bring the korban riyah. Afal pi shemeis beregel. Means it's obvious if the guy died before Yom Tov. Obviously the Yoshim don't have to bring an oilus riyah. He never became chayv in an oilus riyah. But the chayv oilus riyah is chal on you as soon as the regel comes in. As soon as the Yom Tov comes in, you chayv in oilus riyah. So why don't the Yoshim have to bring the oil as long as the person died during the Yom Tov? They didn't have to bring. Very similar to Rav Savitsky's question on Pidyon HaBen. Once, it's two separate mitzvahs. One is a chiyuv to bring an oilus riyah, and one is a chiyuv to the aliyah l'regel. Two different things. So technically, l'chayra, if somebody could only do one, why shouldn't they do it? We're going to get to this. L'chayra. Says l'maisa, the Gemara says, so he brings down this Gemara in B'chayras. Just like by Erech and the Yoshim have to pay, over here they have to pay. So, L'chayra, this should be the same thing. So therefore, and the Gemara brings down in Kiddushin that if a woman dies, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Yud Gimel, if a woman dies after she gives birth. So the halacha is that if you hold sheep with the rice, the Yorashim have to bring the carbon oila. Aisha Shemeso, Yaviu Yorashim oila, so they have to bring the oila, because they're chayiv, it's a debt, they have to bring it. So why is this different? So this is the question. So I brought down a Rambam, I just don't want to give the Elam too much work here, in the beginning of Hilchos Riyah, Perek Aleph. In Hilchos Chagiga, I'll just read you the Rambam, and this layer goes into what you're trying to say here. The Rambam says, "Hariya Amur Batera." This is the Rambam's lashon. Who shenireh ba'azara b'yom tif horishen shel chag? The mitzvah is that as soon as Yom Tov comes, the first day, we should be in the azara, and then v'yavi imoy korban, and bring a korban. So number one, he says, Shenir upon of Bazar, that's one thing the Rambam is saying, and then he says, Sheyovi Yimei Korban. So even though, L'chor, it's two mitzvahs, but the mitzvah gets triggered by coming to the Azorah. Come to the Azorah, V'loyer upon Arekam. So you come to the Azorah, you Makayim, the mitzvah of Riyah, and for sure, if you never brought a Korban, you still Makayim, the mitzvah of Riyah, and then there's another mitzvah that you have to bring an oiler when you come, that's a mitzvah too. But what I'm saying is, even though it's two mitzvahs, it's a progressive mitzvah. The mitzvah is to come, and then the mitzvah is to bring with it a carbon oiler, second mitzvah. So really, it's a poshut asfara. Yoshim have no chiv to do the mitzvahs of their parents. They have no such chiv. Anything which inherently is not monetary, the Yorshim don't have to do. The Yorshim only inherit monetary obligations. The Yorshim don't inherit mitzvahs. There is a sugyin ezu neshech, in which the Gemara says that there's a mitzvah, there's an inyan, that the Yorshim should give back the ribbis of their father. See, ribbis is very interesting, because ribbis is not really monetary. Even though obviously it's monetary. It's not really monetary. Because ribis really is something that monetarily you owe. If I borrow money and I say, okay, I'm going to give you back 10% interest. Monetarily, I have to give back the 10%. It's just that there's a din ribis that he can't take it. Okay? That's why it's a whole din ribis ktsutza yoytze b'dayonim. It's a new halacha that Chazal said that ribis ktsutza you could take back. But really, logically, ribis is money you really owe. It's just you're not allowed to pay it. But it's really money you owe. It's Yeridaya. That's why, if you look at Hilchas Ribis, it's not a Choshe Mishpat. It's in Yeridaya. It's an obvious question. Why is Ribis in Yeridaya? It should be in Choshe Mishpat. Because Ribis is really something you owe. Be'etzer. Not allowed to pay it. Monetarily speaking, you owe it. So therefore, if a man collected Ribis and he died, the Yoshim really don't have to pay it back. There's a mitzvah. Mipnei kvoy davim. I'll keep it avayim. They should give it back. But that's not part of what they inherit. Because the Yorshim don't inherit Yeridaya. The Yorshim only inherit Choshen Mishpat. The Yorshim don't inherit an obligation to take care of their father's non-monetary obligations. And even if those non-monetary obligations affect monetary issues, they don't have to bother with it. They only, it's a very pointed type of obligation. Only monetary obligations they have to take care of. And therefore, I want to tell you a very simple thing. Let's take Pidyon HaBen, for instance. Pidyon HaBen, whose mitzvah is Pidyon HaBen? Pidyon HaBen, really, there are two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is Pidyon HaBen is on the son. The child has a Pidyon HaBen. He's chayiv. The Torah said that the father should take care of the son's obligation. What would be in a case where a father didn't do Pidyon HaBen? The child became a godel. And now they both want to do Pidyon HaBen. They both come. And they say, we want to do, who has kedima to do this mitzvah? So the Rivash says, it's only on the son. He says, because really Pidyon HaBen is on the son. Not only that, he says the son's nechasim ha-meshubed from when he was a child. It's his obligation. The Torah made the father into a shliach to actually activate the pidyon. But the father's a shliach, really. That's his mitzvah. His mitzvah is to be a shliach. So I want to tell you very simple. The shaila is that shliach is monetary or not monetary? The Gemara comes in Bechoros and says, you know what? Without a new pasuk, we would say, if the son died, the son clearly is not chayiv in Pidyon HaBen anymore. He died. The father doesn't have to do it for him anymore. The father's not doing it else the father. The father is doing it because he has a mitzvah to do the son's mitzvah. And Mela, without a new pasuk, the father wouldn't do the Pidyon HaBen for a dead son. No. The mitzvah happened already. If again, the mitzvah of the father was to do this. And if it cost him money, so it cost him money. Doesn't matter. The mitzvah is to do it with your money. It's your obligation now to do it for the son. But the son is the subject of the mitzvah. And you have a mitzvah to do the son's mitzvah. That's why, Chas v'Shalom, the son died. The Gemara says, without a pasuk, if you didn't do the mitzvah yet, we'd say, okay, you're off. There's no mitzvah. You're off. Now, Ria, I hold the Rambam learned very much the same. Ria, until you come into the Azara, there's no monetary obligation yet that was chal. The mitzvah was when you go into the Azara, so therefore, the normal triggering of the monetary obligation didn't happen yet. So the Yoshim have no chiyuv to pay it. However, if the person already was mafresh it, so they activated the monetary obligation. If the person before they died, they took a carbon oiler and they said, I'm being mafresh this oiler for this mitzvah. Now the person artificially activated it. So now the Yoshim have to bring it. But if the person didn't artificially activate it, then it has to become halachically activated. which is only going to happen through going to the Azora. That's how I would learn this Rambam, to explain why the Rambam didn't hold of this. Now, when you come to our sugya, we had a machloikis tanoim. If you remember, we discussed this several weeks ago, and also in the first parak, of whether harocha, when you come to the kohen and the kohen is marich you, what happens at that time? If you remember, we had a shiloh when you say you go busser the nether, we go by the time of the nether. Does that mean we go by the time when you made the nether? Well, do we go by the time when you come to Bezin? And we went through that whole validation issue. That it could actually be that when you make a nether, the nether still needs to be validated in order for the nether to be chal. Right? So I want to tell you very pashut. The Rambam held, and that's how we talk of Paskins, that the nether, up until the time that you validate it, is nothing more than a nether. So the Yoshim have no chiv to fulfill a father's nether. They have a chiv to fulfill monetary obligations that were chal. They don't have a chiv to fulfill. Let's say a father made a nether for tzedakah. Let me give you an example. A father made a nether for tzedakah. So I'm hereby giving tzedakah. Yeah? He says, I'm obligating on myself to give $100 to tzedakah. Makes a nether. The Yoshim don't have to do it. The Yoshim don't have to do it. Because it's only a nether. It didn't turn monetary. There's some sefer here in this Chuvus. Some sefer says as follows. So he says as follows. Dafke, this is in Choshen Mishpit Simen Kuf Yud. Chuvus Chassam Sefer. He brings down the Marit. Davke shezocho hekdish beguf anachosim mechayim. It's only if hekdish was zoich in the money itself mechayim. Avol kol she'ein olav chiv mom, and this is the Marit talking, the Chassam Sofer quoting the Marit. Elo mitzvu deram yalei? Ein ayoshim chayovim litein ukemoishim utzinu legabi ribis. That's mamish this. What does he mean? He means there's a point in time where the nether goes from being Yoredeya to being Choshen Mishpat. And it's only at that point when it graduates that the Yoshim have a Chiv. So long that it's Nedorim, the Yoshim have no Chiv. That's the whole Ktzeis' question. If you hold that Hefker is Mitam Nether, why do the Yoshim have to keep it? If the father made something Hefker, why do the Yoshim have to keep it? The Ktzeis is this Kasha. So I want to tell you very simple. If you learn that Hesig Yad goes by when you originally made the nether, then obviously you hold that the monetary kicks in from the original place, Tenei Nechanami. Once you made the nether, it's already monetary. But if you learn that Hesig Yad kicks in only when Bezdin says, validates the nether, that means that up until that point it's not monetary. It means it's Yoredeya, and then it becomes Choshen Mishpat. So you could say very simple. The Gemara held here, like Rav Papa that we had later on, that you don't need validation to a nether. It immediately becomes Choshen Mishpat. There is such an opinion. It's not like we're just fishing an opinion. There is such an opinion. So therefore, if you hold Milval Pek Goivim in a Yoshim, no problem. The Yoshim have to pay. But the Rambam paskins like the other mandama, that every nether we go by the hamada, which means that the erichin has to be validated from to go from the level of a nether to go to the level of choshen mishpat. So according to the Rambam, you need hamada bedin to turn it into choshen mishpat that the Yoshim have to pay it. Otherwise, the Yoshim b'chlal have no union to pay it, because why should they? They have absolutely no reason to have to pay it. That's why you need Amad Abedin. So it's not fair on our Gemara, because our Gemara is going, there is such an opinion. What? Yeah, there's one level of Amad Abedin according to that validates the nether. Without that validation, the nether is not a nether. Correct. Now we understand why the Gemara in Bechoris had to learn Pidyon HaBen from Erechim. Because the Gemara is saying that just like by Erech, and it goes from the level of a neder, and then it becomes Choshen Mishpat, and that's why the Yoshim have to pay. So the Gemara says, why did the Torah make a hekesh to Pidyon HaBen? To tell you, even though Mitzvah's Pidyon HaBen starts as a Mitzvah Sa'af, but then it turns into Choshen Mishpat. And that's why the father has to pay after 30 days. Otherwise, the father wouldn't have to pay after 30 days. Because it would just be a mitzvah of the son, that now the son is not here, so the father doesn't have to pay it. So that answers Rav Savitsky's kasha. Why did the Gemara need the Hekesh Terechen? Because without the Hekesh Terechen, we would say that Pidyon HaBen remains Yeredeya. The Torah came and said, no, Pidyon HaBen is like Erechen. And just like by Erechen, it turns into Choshen Mishpat, and therefore falls upon the Yerushim to pay. So why didn't Pidyon HaBen? Okay, we'll stop it.